It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Did everyone get upgraded to iOS 11.2 yesterday?
I did.
I upgraded my iPhone. I haven't had a chance to get around to the iPad yet.
I did my iPhone when I got home last night, a little bit after midnight from my long drive from Missouri all the way to Dallas. I told my iPad to this morning. I haven't went back into the other room and checked it. So I'm sure it's in there churning away right now.
I thought it was really weird. We got an iOS update on a Friday night until you did some reading and found out that we're a decade into iOS and we're still getting things where an actual date can cause an operating system crash along with notifications. Like in the annals of embarrassing bugs in iOS, this is one that they should have squashed a long time ago, because you can remember daylight savings time used to cause problems and New Year's Day used to cause problems, and now December 2nd just causes problems for some reason. How does this stuff still exist?
This was something with reminders or something, some with check on reminders.
It's always with reminders.
Because yesterday morning, I got up early after the company Christmas party and it was a little bit hungover. I went back up to pick up one of my coworkers and bring him home. Of course, everybody asked me Apple stuff because I'm that guy. And he's like, man, my phone keeps crashing this morning. I can't figure it out. It's like, it'll just start spinning and then crashing and I can't keep it up long enough for anything. And I'm like, dude, I haven't seen anything. I don't know what's going on.
That's what she said.
I was thinking the same thing, Brad.
And so I got on the road and I stopped at some point and I was checking our Telegram and you posted that link. I think, Brian, you did, about the bug. And I'm like, that's exactly what he was describing. So I forwarded it over to him and he's like, yeah, I Googled and that showed up this morning. And somehow he had to turn off something to make the phone stay up long enough for him to be able to patch it, to actually install the patch and then reboot the phone. And it finally came back up and it was working. But I know somebody that had that issue yesterday, and it sounds like it was a pain.
Imagine if you were traveling and had no access to be able to do any of that stuff. It's just inexcusable. It's just a date. How does a date cause a problem?
But you know what's funny is we got burned by it several times, several years in a row in the last 10 years, that now if we have to be somewhere on New Year's Day or the start or end of daylight savings, before I go to bed, I count how many hours it is until I need to wake up. And then I set a timer for that many hours because I don't actually trust the alarm clock to work.
All right, 9/11 conspiracy guy.
It's just funny because we were so worried about Y2K, sort of blowing up the world. And it sort of came and went without any incident or much of an incident. And then, we're having these minor things on a modern 64-bit OS.
And it's not just isolated incidents. It happens once a year, at least. It's insane. I really don't understand this at all.
It was a bad week in general for Apple software. The whole week long, they had issues. So I think that was a good starting spot, Brian, but we could probably work our way backwards. And every day this week, there's probably something. I mean, it was just a real crappy week for Apple.
Yeah, see, it was funny to me. I woke up Saturday morning and read Brian's Telegram message that 11.2 was out. And it just, I actually sent him back a message. This was before anybody had really started reporting this date bug. I wrote back and was like, hey, man, something just feels fishy, right? Like in the last 10 years, when has Apple ever dropped an iOS release that wasn't in the, early in a week?
Tuesdays. Yeah. They release on Tuesday.
Historically, you're correct. And so, I even wrote back to him. I was like, there's got to be some big bug that they squashed. And then, sure enough, an hour later, I get a message from Brian talking about, iPhones rebooting on their own.
Well, as if that wasn't enough, that wasn't even the worst thing that happened in the week. So the root bug inside of High Sierra, where anyone could walk into a computer and just type the word root in a login screen, and you would just get full privileges to the box. I mean, what the hell is that? That is,
wow. I am root.
Well, and to top it off, right? So they did essentially a forced patch of it, across the board. But now if you upgrade to the latest macOS release, reintroduces the root bug. I think it was 13 or 11, 13, 1 or something, reintroduced it.
So if you're already on 13 and you applied the patch and then you applied the first big roll-up patch to High Sierra, it re-enables the bug.
I think that's a show title, I Am Root.
I don't know that people would get it.
I'm not even a comic book guy, and even I get it.
Did you guys allow the patch to be updated it by itself, or did you guys go and proactively install it?
I came in and opened my laptop, and there was just the little notification up in the top right that said it had already been applied. So I didn't even get a choice.
Yeah, same here.
Same thing here on my Mac at home. When I got home last night, I walked over to it, and it had already updated. There was a message on the screen. Then my work laptop, I did myself. So, and my Apple TV was completely frozen up last night. Like, I turned on the TV, and there's like no signal from HDMI. The light was on the front, but it was no response. So I just unplugged it and plugged it right back in, and everything's working fine. It was kind of weird. Just one of those midweek glitches.
Everything just decided to break all at once. It's kind of neat that they can force the security fixes out. It's not the first time they've done it, but it is nice to be able to mitigate those things pretty quickly, though. Unless, you know, it breaks it by applying the fix.
You seem like you feel a little mixed feelings on that, almost like you feel violated that they can backdoor get in your computer and change things.
It's not Google. It's Apple.
I think when you have a bug that allows unfettered root access to your computer, that's one that's worth, you know, throwing the switch on.
Amen, brother.
Oops, that's going to leave a mark.
I'm surprised our mutual Android friend didn't find you at work this week and do a little bit of gloating.
Me too.
Yeah, it's funny. I went over and kind of messed with him a little bit. I asked him, you know, I was like, hey, man, let me see your Google Pixel. And he was like, nah, I didn't feel the need to upgrade. I'm still on the 7, or Galaxy 7. And I said, oh, so you're going to wait until the Galaxy X comes out? And he's like, there's no Galaxy X. I was like, yeah, there will be. You know, they're going to copy everything that Apple does.
They'll have the Y or the Z or something. Maybe it won't be an X, but it'll be some sort of, they'll go letters next. What you bet?
Right. And so as I'm walking away from his desk, because I didn't want to really get into like a deep entrenched one, he yells out, your iPhone has a Samsung screen on it.
That's his equivalent of an insult. That's how he gets you. That's his game of the dozens. Your mom's an astronaut. You know, that type of thing.
Right.
So let's see, some follow-up from last week. So Jason knows this, but I don't think I mentioned it to Brad or Jim. I changed my TV out. Dun, dun, dun.
Woohoo!
Changed it out?
I changed it out for the LG OLED 65-inch.
You went down and up.
I did. I went down and up and even over.
Again, that's what she said.
So the problem was on Monday.
His wife said it was too big, so he had to swap it out.
The problem was on Monday, there were no in the Atlanta area, as far as I could find, this particular model. Just wasn't there. Best Buy was out. I thought, where could I have looked that I didn't look previously? And I found one last model, unopened, new in box, never been touched, at the Micro Center near my house. There was one over at Micro Center, and I thought, wow.
Wow, that's a reach, buying a TV at Micro Center.
And is it that same Micro Center that's like 80 years old, that's covered in 4 inches of dust, and like nobody in there willing to help you?
I think you've just described every Micro Center.
Yeah, I think you did, Jason. Where you can go probably find like a LPT1 adapter on some aisle that's been sitting there since like 1988.
I will say in the summer of 2016, when I went to go and build my PC, I did it all from components at Micro Center. They were comparably priced to whatever I found online, so it wasn't that big a deal. The oldest one in Atlanta, I think, was in Marietta, and this is the one that was relatively newer, but still probably 15 years old. But yes, they had one of those TVs left. I was there when the door was open and grabbed it and bolted.
How gorgeous is it?
Well, see, that's the thing. The blacks on that OLED are really, really, really deep. So I had gone to Best Buy the night before. My wife and I went out to dinner. We went and, you know, checked the TV out in store. They had a display unit inside of Best Buy. And of course, you have the enthusiastic Best Buy people trying to sort of push you on it. And it really is a magnificent picture. I really wanted that Dolby Vision. That was the thing that was the clincher. I had considered going from the 75 back to the 65 on the Sony with the Ultra LED. But the update for Dolby Vision still hasn't been delivered, despite being promised like 11 months ago. So let's say I'd gotten the 65-inch Sony and they didn't deliver that update, I would have just lost 10 inches off the TV size for no good reason. Not that I don't think that they will, but I needed an apples-to-apples comparison today.
They're not moving fast enough for Brian.
11 months. I mean, 11 months is, go read the Sony forums that Jason and I were perusing, and there's a lot of ticked off people who are like, this has been promised for a year and it still isn't here. Where is it? Where is it?
11 months ago, I owned a Magnavox, man, that, you know, it had come in a big wooden box.
that you leased from Curtis Mathis for 3 years?
Curtis Mathis.
The big click remote.
You're going
click,
way
click,
back.
Click, 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 click. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you went and got the, you know, I think you went back to the size that was, like you said, a better fit for your room, but then you were able to kind of upgrade the OLED quality. So does it look like a 65-inch iPhone X?
It's beautiful. It is magnificent. And, you know, dropping in size like that, I thought it was going to be a bigger deal than what it was, but it's not really. I moved my couch about 5 inches closer, but that that was about it.
So what's been your reference movie that you kind of chose to see the quality of it?
Basically anything that was marked HDR or Dolby Vision inside of iTunes, I've been blowing through and just checking it out. But even things like, you know, Netflix on the Xbox One, because it does a lot of those titles in Dolby Vision, are kind of nice as well. So like any of the Marvel stuff just really, really pops.
So what about the burn-in issue that we talked about last week or the week before last? I mean, do you have to worry about that now, or is that something that you just need to be aware of? Versus an LED. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't look much into the OLEDs because I knew it would cost me as much or more for the, you know, the size that I wouldn't. So I didn't really look into them. And I know we briefly talked about that.
I only did about $300 or $400 more than what we did on the TV that we had bought, the 75-inch. So it wasn't like freakishly expensive. So that was the first thing. I did go ahead and get the warranty. I hate doing warranties, but I've read enough horror stories. Jason had pointed me in the direction of enough horror stories online that I figured, well, you know, for a purchase like this, it's like, you know, I got them to come down like $20 on the cost of it too. So it was like $179 or something. So I was like, okay, I'll at least make myself feel better that way, right? If nothing else. If I get some sort of freakish issue, because if you go and you look on Amazon and you look on Best Buy site, you'll see people who have the TV for like 2 months and the thing, now it won't even turn on. Now there's like this horrible burn in. Now there's this and that. And
that's how it was with that sound bar. It was either I love it, it's the most amazing sound bar, like the sound that you can get out of this is completely unlike any other sound bar you've ever heard. And then every third review is like 2 months in, it wouldn't turn on. And, you know, it was either one or the other. It was praise or hate. And so, same thing here. I got the warranty on the soundbar because I got such a good deal on it, and it was an open box price. So I got the one through Magnolia. But, yeah, I'm loving the – I mean, I haven't been here very much to listen to it. But the time I have been here, I'm really going to enjoy the soundbar. I'm taking some time off at Christmas, and I don't even want to travel. I just want to lay on my couch and watch my new TV and listen to my new speakers and veg.
Annoy his neighbors.
Yes, Brad.
I put in blackout shades in my basement, so my basement in here where the TV is totally dark all the time.
He's building the man cave. It's the technology man cave.
It really is, and that'll be some nice TV watching in there. I needed it to
flip
be
the light
perfectly
on
dark.
And your eyes are all glazed and red. And
I wonder if you can get a fat head of the Apple logo to stick on the wall. You know those fat head things where you can get like your football team or a player or something, those really big things that stick on the wall. And the only reason I think of those is because I've actually been looking at them, because I was thinking about getting one for my nephew for his birthday that's coming up in a couple weeks, like an Ole Miss one or a Saints one for his wall in his room. I noticed when we were down there last time, the room is kind of plain, you know, and so I'm like, you know, I could jazz up a little bit. I think he would like that. He's a huge sports fan. But yeah, they need a huge Apple logo that you can, like, for technology nerd man caves, the big Apple logo. Maybe if they ever released a TV, remember, you know how they put the little Apple sticker in every box of Apple things you buy? Maybe if they would have actually ever released like a TV, like a 55-inch Apple True TV, you'd get an actual fat head in the package, like a huge sticker instead of that little bitty one. That would be pretty funny.
People put it on the tops of their cars, like on the roofs of their cars instead of on their back window.
I'm very pleased with it. It is, it has been nice. But just watching any average thing, the upscaling is pretty nice. The deep blacks, and it, I mean, it feels almost like movie theater quality. It's like when you see the reviews, the ones that are actually happy with the TV, it's like, this is the best TV I've ever had, and I can see where they would say that. It's
funny. Brian sees probably more movies than anybody I know. Like he'll just like on a random Sunday morning go, I think I'm gonna go see this movie. I kind of want to see it. My wife's working, but now he's got movies at home. Like just like at the movie theater, yet he's the one that goes to the most movies. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I don't know that I'll be doing that so much anymore, because now I going to the movies, it really just annoys me to no end. So when my wife and I went to see Thor Ragnarok, this is the experience that always happens, by the way. I'll pick like a random day during the middle of the week. I'll pick like the early show that night to go to. The entire theater will be empty. The entire theater. I'll pick something like a seat where I think no one's going to sit around us. The only people who come into the theater after us sit immediately next to us. Like every single, because they all do assigned seating. None of them is open seating anymore. Any of the theaters. They're all, you know, buy your seats ahead
of time. But there's nobody in there. You don't have to be that jacket that sits in the seats you're supposed to. If it's all open, you can sit anywhere you want, basically.
Well, see, we get there first, so of course, because you know I like to be early, and I sit where we're supposed to sit, and then everyone else that comes in, and not only in the same row, like literally next to, like we're all there in a big party together, and they all break out the popcorn and the little crinkly bags and the loudest snacks you could ever get,
the smacking.
You say you get there early, and I used to be that guy too. I remember Shelley and I used to always have to, like, we both like didn't want to sit right up front, and we, you know, that was like a pet peeve of both of us. We have to have good seats for this movie, so we were always at movies early. And I'm not an early person for anything. I think y'all can all attest to that. I'm generally just late for everything, but for movies, it was one of those things. That's one of the things, not one of the things. It is the single best thing about assigned seating for movies, is you don't have to go sit there for 20 minutes and watch that crap before the show, or see the local church advertisements, or whatever they're showing that week. I mean, you could show up 5 minutes before it starts, go sit right down at your perfect seat right in the middle of the screen. I mean, that is the absolute, like, that's why I love assigned seating with movies. It's great.
I just don't understand the mentality of other people that when they go to book, because a lot of times when I'll book these tickets, the entire theater is empty, right? So when they go to book seats, they see where the only people in the theater are sitting and go, you know what? I got to sit right next to these folks. I really just have to be right up their butt. This is going to be great. I know it's not a big deal.
They want to cozy up to somebody else.
It's just a weird, they don't even leave like an obligatory seat in between. Like, no, it's like,
whoa, you don't even get like the man seat in between?
No, it's like we're all there on my couch watching it together while they eat loud, obnoxious snacks.
Excuse me, I'm one of them, but who says I'm going to go sit next to the fat guy? I mean, none of us are like, if you're getting on a plane, I would generally say all four of us, if we're on a seat and somebody had a choice whether to sit next to one of us or somewhere else, that choice would be somewhere else. I mean, none of us are like awful, but we're not little gentlemen, all right?
I'm using both armrests.
Exactly. Brad is
involuntarily.
Brad is just a big person. Brad, what are you, like 6'3", Brad? I don't know. Brad
6'4",
is just, yeah. Brad's just a big guy all around. Big head, big arms, shoulders. To go in a theater and be like, hey, there's a fat guy right in the middle, I'm going to go sit right next to him. What? Oh, people.
To be honest, the seats are, they are like recliners, right? So they're usually pretty large, and it's not that bad. But I still don't understand the mentality of you literally have 100 seats to pick from, and you pick the ones, the only ones where people are sitting. Like,
do you have to sit so close?
They think they're at Disney, and it's like, you must go all the way to the end of the row and fill up all available space. And isn't that what they say? Something like that? I've been there a couple times.
In 2016, or maybe it was 2015, I went to the theater on a Sunday morning once or something, where it was like a 9 a.m. show. Something where I was like, nobody will be here. This will be great. I go in there. I'm the only person there. One other person comes in. Where did they sit? Literally right next to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand why. Like, this was a literal theater empty except for me. I'm sitting there in my mind. I'm going nuts. I'm just like, why are you sitting here? You could sit literally anywhere.
I think you're going to have to cut a lot of this. This is some kind of rabbit hole, but really funny. This is what, I mean, I know we end up like recording for an hour and you end up with like a 40-minute show, but these are the good conversations.
They are.
You know, it wouldn't be so bad if the people came in and they didn't have the loudest snacks that you could get. Things where you just rattle paper incessantly, or you sit there and jiggle the ice in the cup over and over and over like it's going to produce more drink.
Oh, you're just a grumpy old man.
Even the most simple snack, popcorn, is noisy. I mean, to have them stick a handful of popcorn into that echo chamber you call a mouth, and it's like, and then they
don't have the bucket anymore. The bucket was silent. Remember, the bucket was kind of silent. Now everything is those bags.
It's always in a bag.
And the bags are noisy. The buckets, actually, that was a smart idea. The paper bucket was actually at least silent when you went in and out of it. Whereas those big refillable bags that they give you now. Yeah,
those are the worst. Those are the worst. But even the nachos, even the boxed candy, even the slurping the things, it's just like, could you be any loud? And of course, it's quiet.
The slurping of the things.
You know, where they get like the slushy or whatever else and your 10,000 calorie snack, quote unquote snack.
You're trying to get that last little bit out of the slushy at the bottom and you accidentally put the spoon into the straw in there. So you're going... and getting nothing.
Movies are typically a cringe fest for me, typically only because I have this sensory processing disorder called misophonia.
Lost your phone or
something? No, it's phonia deals with problems of the ear, but people, the noise of people chewing, rattling bags, like I don't let anybody in my house eat out of a bag. I always make them like pour their chips in a bowl. Because, and I mean, I can't sit in the same room as my wife or my kids when they're eating cereal because it just sends me into orbit.
Wow. Misophonia. That sounds like something you'd get in a movie, though, because you have to turn your phone off.
Dad joke central today.
So movies are a literal cringe fest for me because they're even people sitting three rows away. I'm like,
I think that's a learned behavior because my wife actually has that worse than I do. And I used to be able to just ignore everyone who wasn't me. I could just go completely self-absorbed. But in the many years that I've been with her, it's sort of rubbed off on me till the point that I'm the exact same way now where it bugs me, whereas it used to not.
I just had we could actually get back to Apple things. I had a friend from work that asked me on cyber about getting a Mac, and I sent him a couple of links from 9to5, or I think it was the Mac Rumors. Is that it?
Mac Rumors. Yeah.
He said, you know, they needed another computer around the house. His wife needed something to do this, that, and the other, but he wanted a Mac. And I hated to say it, but I recommended the 13-inch no touch bar to him. I'm like, if you don't need anything super fancy, you don't want the MacBook because, you know, it doesn't have enough ports on it. It's small. It does have a nice screen. I'm like, you don't want to go with the Air because there's no Retina on it. The touch bar is neat for using Touch ID. That's about it. And pretty much... that's probably going to go away within the next 2 years if they get this Face ID thing, you know, put into everything. So I told him to get the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and that's what he got. He got a real good deal on one.
There were some really good values out there on Black Friday and over the weekend through Cyber Monday. I mean, I was seeing discounts on current models almost, well, in some cases, as high as $1,000 off list price.
Yeah, OWC, I ordered that adapter for them, and it's the first thing I ordered from them in years, and so... I had to unsubscribe from their updates because it was like twice a day I was getting, we're blowing this out and we're blowing that out. I'm like, look, guys, I'm glad you're got this stuff on sale, but I just don't need that many emails. But they had some crazy deals on like 4K. I mean, I was like, you need a 4K iMac. Why not? Look how cheap that is. You know, I'm like, I don't need another freaking computer. But I was just, you know, I was like, oh, I'm shaking because I'm like, that's such a good deal.
Must spend money.
I'm just going to have Macs stacked up in boxes here, you know. For when one breaks.
Stacks on stacks of Macs on Macs.
Yeah. You know you're a tech nerd when you set your old Mac, your new Mac on top of your old Mac. Remember that Jeff Foxworthy thing with the TV?
Yeah.
You might be a redneck if your old new TV sits on top of your old TV. You might be an Apple nerd if your new Mac sits on top of your old Mac.
You just got jokes for days today, Jim. You're very animated compared to what you usually are.
Dude, I drove my... new to me, 04 Honda S2000 from Springfield, Missouri to Dallas, Texas last night. I got home a little after midnight. I got up early yesterday morning in St. Louis, hungover from the company Christmas party. I literally slept on the couch at our office. Got up 3 hours to Marshfield, and then I bought the car, and then I had to take my rental car to the airport, which was like 30 minutes away, and then Uber back to the dealership to get my car. And I drove it home last night, and it's so beautiful. It had 34,000 miles on it when I bought it. It's an 04 model.
Which is unheard of for a, you know, 14-year-old car.
Right. I mean, you know, and it's not a Ford Explorer. It's like if I was looking for a low-mileage Ford Explorer, that would be rare. I mean, at least this is a, you know, a two-door convertible. Somebody kept it in their garage. There was literally a car cover in the trunk. Like when the guy traded it in, he gave them the car cover for it. And there was also a nice big sign in the trunk that says, you know, it's like S2K owner parking only. You know, like that. Whoever owned this car really loved it like I love it, you know, and for whatever reason, the guy just said it was an older couple that traded it in on a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
For their grandkids.
It's the same color, interior and exterior, as the one that I had that was flooded in Katrina 12 years ago. And so I'm just replacing, you know, something that was my absolute favorite car that I've ever owned in my life. You know, it was it's basically filling a void for me as I'm getting to be an older man. This is my car now that I will keep forever. It's my forever car. You know, if I need another car for commuting, I'll go buy something, you know. But this car, you know, it's small enough to where you can put me in it and bury me in it. But I'm going to be cremated, so.
You're starting to sound like a bad country song. Like, first you got your car back, now you're going to try and get your dog back and your ex-girlfriend back.
Well, the car is the easy part.
The car is the thing you've been looking for the longest, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the car is the easy part. And to top it all off, I got a great deal on the car. I mean, it was the price. I've been looking at him for 2 or 3 months, searching around the country. This was easily the best deal I've seen also. You know, because it was this really small town in southern Missouri. I mean, how are you going to sell a convertible in a really small town in southern Missouri in the middle of winter? So, or, you know, I mean, it's just it's like getting a pool built in January. You're going to get a deal. So, yeah, I'm doing good this morning. I was after 1 o'clock last night before I got to sleep. I was so high strung when I got home. I woke up at 8 this morning. I've already been for a walk. I walked over to the Amazon locker and got a package that I needed to get. I'm happy. I'm bouncing off walls today.
I honestly didn't expect to see you this animated. I expected to see normal Jim just like...
I did like too. I told y'all yesterday when I was on the drive, I said, hey guys, it's going to be after midnight when I get home. Maybe if we could record later. Hint, hint. And y'all were like, rah, 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 rah. And so I was like, all right, I'll be home. I'll be on here. Because I truly thought I would be dead because I felt like crap. I mean, you know, I was hungover and I'm in a, you know, I love the car, but I will readily admit it's loud. I mean, you know, it's a ragtop convertible. It's got an engine that really revs up, you know, and it beat the hell out of me on crappy Oklahoma and Arkansas roads all the way home. I mean, it's not something, you know, that you ride in for comfort. Right. It was just, you know, all the way home. It'll be the longest road trip I ever take in it. So.
Well, you drive to Mississippi sometimes, right?
Yeah. But now that I have all these Southwest points just like falling out my pockets and I know I can bring my dog, I don't think I'll be driving to Mississippi very much anymore. And if I do, I'll probably just rent a car and drive. Because when I fly, I usually fly into New Orleans and rent a car in New Orleans, so I just have one for myself while I'm down there. Because I don't like bumming, you know, my mom's or my dad's or whatever when I'm there, so I'll usually rent a car. So if I'm going to drive someplace that far, I'll just rent me a nice car in Dallas and drive myself. So, you know, we'll see. It might make a trip down there so it can go, you know, it would be nice to drive it up and down the beach. Another, you know, reliving more old loves.
All right, back to Apple news. So the early version of the HomePod apparently stood 3 feet tall and had dozens of speakers. What did you guys think of that story?
I was thinking, like, who designed this? Like, one of the guys from, like, was it Turn It Up to 11? What was the 13? Or what was
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. It's like where they're building this big, huge, you know, speaker tower. Johnny Ive had to be the one that nixed that, you know what I mean? Because if he built it, it would be, like, the size of a matchbook. Like, the smaller, the better.
I think it's cool how they support the different teams kind of doing their own little side projects without having to turn it into a product, or maybe it may disappear to the annals of research or something, but they still, you know, support that sort of open playing around type mentality of things, of new things.
And the fact this was started before the Echo came out is really, really weird.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll admit, I just kind of scanned through the thing you posted. But the fact that they honestly say they're going to focus on the music and not the assistant, they tried that already a couple of years ago with that, whatever that iPod dock thing was. Was that what
it was? iPod Hi-Fi.
HiPod Hi-Fi. I mean, that was one of the biggest busts of all time for Apple. And even this delay, I mean, I don't think I'll get a HomePod now. You know, I've invested $1,000 into this Atmos soundbar. I mean, this thing sounds great. It's not that big. I mean, you know, I'm not filling my room full of speakers. I mean, it's got that big sub over in the corner. I don't need the HomePod anymore.
You could set a plan on it, though.
Yeah.
And it has built-in Spotify integration, too.
Right, right. So, I am...
Which is all you use yours for anyway.
I'm kind of out of the market for a HomePod now because I've got an Echo with still, I've got these two little Mackie speakers still plugged into it. And I use the Echo for, you know, weather and news and stuff. So I don't see myself buying a HomePod now. I really don't. You know, I always say that. And, you know, I said I wasn't going to buy the AirPods either. And they're amazing. So we'll see. I don't know. Until they come up with something that's as good as Spotify Connect for iTunes, I don't think it's, I don't know that it's on my radar now.
We all have our own use cases for why or why not HomePod makes a good choice for us. I will say that the integrated speaker market is ripe for something great because I bought three of the new Sonos Ones the day that they came out and they were awful. The music sounded great, but the integration with Alexa was terrible. There was so much stuff you couldn't do that was throw out the smart speaker part. Just, you know, talk about the Alexa functionality, right? It was very much a crippled Alexa device in that you couldn't do drop-in, you couldn't do, you know, flash news briefings. There was all sorts of skills. Yeah, I mean, it was...
How is that even possible? It's all software, right? I mean, you ask it to do something and it sends a message to Google and gets it back.
Huh, you mean Amazon, but yes, they...
Yeah, you would think that was the case, but just it was
like,
not.
Just like Siri with the Apple TV or on your Mac. Like, if I tell Siri to turn off the lights on my Mac, it's like, sorry, I don't support HomeKit on the Mac. Meanwhile, I can do it from my watch. That costs a fraction of what my Mac does. Doesn't make any sense.
So the whole thing may be related to some API.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just the integration in general. So, for instance, if you wanted to play your Apple Music, Alexa was not aware of your Apple Music through Sonos, so you would actually have to launch your Sonos app on your phone, start playing the music, and then you could use Alexa to skip tracks forward and back or turn up volume up and down, but you couldn't, you know, do anything else, like you couldn't change stations or call out for your favorite artist or anything like that.
What the hell is this, 2015? Come on.
Dude, it was very much a half-baked thing. Also, at launch, you couldn't do Spotify, so you couldn't use Alexa to control Spotify. They've since released a software update for that, but I'd already returned mine back to Best Buy.
Do you think Amazon did this because they also sell the devices and they want to cripple other, or I mean, cripple is the only word I can think of. I mean, they're going to make them less of a useful device because they want to sell more of their own, or just, I guess the API is just not mature enough to where they can give that access to third party speaker sellers. I don't know. That seems really odd.
My gut tells me that it's Sonos resting on their laurels for a long time and not coming to market with a great product that was ready, but they knew that they had to get a product out there in the marketplace for this buying season with promises of it being better, or they would get crushed by the new Google device, the new Amazon devices, the new Apple device. So now let me talk about my experience for a second with the new Echoes. So I've got three of the new second generation Echoes, the ones that they're selling for like $99.99 right now. Those, the audio quality is way better than an Echo Dot, as it should be. It's like four times as big. But the big selling feature of the new Echoes is the, you know, multi-beam forming microphones and all that. Well, I have to practically yell at most of the devices to get them to wake up, right? Like, it's way worse than the Echo Dot that I had, or the multiple Echo Dots that I had.
Like the and little then, bitty dot, like the little bitty thing, right? You're talking about?
Well, no. So
Puck, like the little Puck or the...
Yeah, so my original Echo Dot Pucks do a better job than the $99 new high-performance beam-forming microphone version of the taller actual speaker model. So the other thing, like one of the reasons why I got rid of the Echo Dots and went with, well, first Sonos and then this, is the Echo Dots increasingly more and more and more just picked up on random words, right? Like you would just see the blue ring go on and then you'd hear Alexa say, I can't help you with that or whatever. And you're like,
you I've know, noticed nobody- that here recently with my, because it sits right next to my TV. But I can yell at that dot from anywhere in my apartment. I can be laying in my bed and yell, turn up the volume or skip the track. And my little, that little Puck, man, that thing picks up everything.
You're also in a loft.
Well, there's a wall sort of between there. It's a big closet.
but here's the thing, right? If there was any kind of consistency, it wouldn't drive me crazy, right? But sometimes I can walk right up to it and whisper and say, you know, Alexa, and it picks right up, right? And then sometimes you will literally yell at it, and it won't do anything. Well, the other night just drove me nuts. We were watching Jeopardy, and the contestant's name was Melissa. And every time Alec Trebek would say, Melissa, she would answer the question, right? And then it was actually invoking Alexa, and then Alexa was actually hearing what her response was and then doing a search for me and telling me the answer to the question. So,
oh, that's awesome. That should be like a built-in feature.
It was awful.
The new Cheat at Jeopardy feature.
So I will say this, the ability on the new Echoes to pair them, two of the Echoes sound better than one of the Sonos. But as a standalone device, the Sonos has much better audio quality.
So those new Echoes are $99, and the new Sonos, is it the new one, or did they rename it to something else?
It's called just, so the old Sonos was called Play One. The new one is just called Sonos One.
Okay, so you're saying that one's $200, right? Aren't those $200?
Correct.
So you're saying that the $200 you could spend on two Alexa devices is equivalent to the 100 for the other generally.
Yep.
I do miss, I mean, I was playing Spotify through my Dot with those little speakers. Now I can't talk to my soundbar, and I was thinking maybe I could do the Google thing with that. That would be neat if the soundbar had like the Google Assistant built into where you could talk to it. I did notice.
Doesn't it have some integration with one of those?
It has integration with something like one of those, but I don't think you can talk to it and give it commands. Like, it's not always listening.
Well, didn't your TV firmware get upgraded where you could actually talk to your TV and have it launch it?
I don't know, Jason. Maybe it did.
You do have Android built into your TV, so
yeah, I know. I've seen some of that. Yeah, and I did note. I have noticed, like, when I go to do Spotify Connect, I get two options. I get Spotify Connect and Google Cast for the soundbar when I go to pick what I want to stream on.
Well, you can actually hit the microphone button on your remote for your TV and talk to it just like you would an Apple TV. That's how I was. The Android interface was so slow on that TV that the only way that I could get things done that didn't drive me crazy was to hit the voice assistant button and say, like, open settings and do things like that.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't done any of that. I could walk over and pick up the remote. So I'm just saying, like, from just yelling across the room, that's the one thing I miss, you know, listening on the soundbar versus through the Dot. But Spotify Connect is awesome. I noticed this morning, and I don't know if y'all have seen this. When I was home over Thanksgiving, my brother's got an Onkyo receiver, and I was playing Spotify through it the whole time I was there. He had never used Spotify before either. He's always been an Apple Music guy, so he thought that was pretty neat. I noticed this morning that his Onkyo is still in my list of devices now. Like, when I pull up on my phone Spotify Connect and I look at the list of devices, his Onkyo receiver is still in the list. So I think when we finish this podcast, I'm going to try to play like some crazy music on his speaker in Gulfport and then see if he figures out how it's playing and if it works or not. So maybe once you connect to something, it's always there. You know, like it's always in the list because his Onkyo is in my list. So I might try to play some crazy tunes on his TV.
Lords of Acid or Guns N' Roses, Rocket Queen
something crazy like that, and see if he can see how long it takes him to text me to say, are you doing this?
Well, I shared a bunch of info about how I feel about Sonos and the new Amazon Echoes, right? But I guess the overall point that I was trying to make is, for the discerning customer who is looking for a well-integrated smart speaker with some home controls and whatnot, that market is still available for somebody to come in and dominate, because both Amazon and Sonos are not where they should be right now.
So it looks like the HomePod is really just going to compete with Sonos in this space. It's not really going to compete with a lower end digital assistant, but I think that's kind of a mistake. I'm in the same boat as you, Jim. Normally, if Apple releases something, I'm going to go out and get it. But as I sit here on my desk, I have the Google Home thingy and I have the Echo Dot. I just don't see the need for another digital assistant. And now that I have the soundbar and it sounds amazing, it's tuned for my room, everything's great. I just don't see myself dropping $350 on the HomePod.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I love the soundbar, and I don't see where it could be useful. The only thing that would make it useful for me is if it was something that was portable, and it's definitely not going to be that small. So,
well, it's not going to be big either. How do you mean define portable?
Well, like if I was, you know, going to bring it, like if I was going somewhere and I could pack it with me when I go to have it. Like, you know, I'm thinking of like a Bluetooth speaker, like the, you know, the bigger size portable Bluetooth speakers are still going to be a lot smaller than a HomePod.
Yeah, it's no Beats Pill Plus or anything.
I did add a couple of Alexa-enabled plugs here at the house over the last weekend when I was here. I'd bought a couple when they went on sale. I set up a Christmas tree last Sunday. It's the first time I've set up a tree since I've been on my own, so I was pretty stoked about that. And so I have the tree plugged into one of those plugs, so I can just say, hey, lady, turn on the tree, and she turns on the Christmas tree. So that's kind of neat. I don't know. It's festive.
Yeah, we've got two trees up as of yesterday because my wife is awesome at that stuff. And so I've got both of mine hooked up to if this, then that. So, you know, as soon as it is sunset every day, the trees come on, and at 10 p.m. they auto turn off.
Oh, cool. I need to totally do that so it comes on while I'm not here because, you know, I've got the windows open in my apartment. So like the tree would come on and, you know, it's all festive. I need to try to set that up. That'd be kind of neat.
Although I did see something funny the other day. My wife is completely oblivious and deaf to any timer that's going on in the house, right? So you can set the microwave timer. She never hears it. You can set the oven timer. She never hears it. So one of the things that I did was I set it to where all the Hue lights in the house blink on and off when there's an Alexa timer. So you can't avoid the whole house turning on and off, on and off. So the other day I had set a timer for her. Yeah, the timer went off, but I was outside and forgot that the front porch lights are also Hue bulbs. So I was outside and I'd like talking to a neighbor, and then the front lights start going on and off, and they're like, "What is going on in your house?"
It's like, "Oh, my wife's burning the bread about right now."
Right.
Jason's house, where homemade means burnt.
It's like a deaf person's doorbell or something.
Put a Nest Protect in the kitchen so that way she knows when everything's ready. Smoke detector goes off.
Hey, my mom is an amazing cook, but if the fire alarm doesn't go off in her house, then dinner's not ready yet. My stepdad has them set up for like that on purpose. Like they're super sensitive because I'm real ADD or whatever. My mom is, you know, same way, and she'll forget about stuff. So yeah, the fire alarm goes off. That means that, you know, it's time to get the stuff out of the oven.
It's pretty handy.
Also, hopefully Kate doesn't listen to this episode because she's going to kill me on this one. But for Thanksgiving, we had one beautiful apple pie and we had one not so beautiful apple soup.
That was the test case.
No, the apple soup
the is prototype.
The one that she forgot to set a timer on and just guessed. And it was still very delicious because it still had the same sugar and cinnamon and brown sugar, you know, ooey gooiness. It just was not set very well.
Just a whole lot more ooey gooiness, right? It was the consistency was not that of a soft apple. It was more
prototype.
It's more like a jelly.
Well, I think we're getting close to the end of everything.
We need to talk about the iVine thing. I like that article. That was really good about Spotify and Netflix and streaming. Do we not have time for that? I hadn't seen that. And so when I saw that and read that article, he's spot on.
So yeah, well, no pun intended. Jimmy Iovine said this week that streaming services have a bad situation. And we'll put a link to the show notes to that article. But really, the gist of it is that he points out that Spotify is in a bad spot. Basically, what they're offering is a feature, not a product. Not unlike, you know, Dropbox. Is the thing that comes to mind with this. But the real meat of this article is that the music labels control all of your content, and they drive terrible, terrible terms. And the more popular you are, the more customers you get, the more of that pie they're going to take away. So if that's your only business model that you have, you're really at the mercy of the people who own that content. So Netflix, Amazon, Apple, all of those have woken up to this. They're making their own content. But Spotify is really in a bad spot because that's really their only business model. Apple sells hardware. Amazon sells, you know, vacuum cleaners. Netflix is doing their own original content. What do you do if you're Spotify? And Jimmy Iovine points out that they don't really have any other thing going on. So they should really be kind of scared. And it made me think of, you know, in the past where Apple said they don't want to have any technology they don't completely control, it's similar to that sort of thing. If you think about it, your iPhones and your iPads always ship on time or on a regular schedule of their own determination because they're controlling the CPUs. Think about how long we've gone in Mac cycles because Intel hasn't made a breakthrough. Intel hasn't iterated fast enough to suit Apple. It's a
good point.
Bad situation to be in if you don't have control of your destiny. And that's really the space that Spotify is in. I think they make the best streaming service, but I really do wonder about their future because particularly with something like Amazon in there. I think the example in the article was Amazon wakes up tomorrow and says, you know what? I think the price of streaming music ought to be $8 a month. You know, what do you do?
Right. No, I didn't know a whole lot about him until I watched that Defiant Ones documentary on HBO, which if you haven't seen that is amazing. So, I mean, I know all three of y'all have, but if you're out there listening, if you haven't watched Defiant Ones, that's 4 hours of your day, you know, the day you listen to this podcast. Just hit pause on us right now and go watch that. So I know he's a really smart man and he's always been pushing the needle. I mean, he was on streaming back before stream, you know, they started Beats streaming service. I had totally forgot that Beats was even a streaming service. You know, everybody knows this, they were the headphones, but they actually started a streaming service too.
That's what Apple Music became.
Right. Yeah. And so there's nobody left to buy Spotify like Apple bought Beats. I mean, you know, Amazon's got their own thing. Google's got their own thing. You know, the only reason somebody would want Spotify is for their customers. And just like you said, if, you know, hey, you know, Jeff Bezos wakes up one morning and decides, hey, you know, streaming should be $8. What's Spotify going to do about that? Because they don't control their own product. They can't set a price that low, or they basically just put themselves out of business. There's no economies of scale with what Spotify is doing.
No, there's really not. And there was an article that I found years ago from the guy who founded iMeme, which was IMEEM. It was a music service that came out about a decade ago, and he sold it, I think, to MySpace or something back when that was still a thing. And he had talked about how the more you sold, the more subscriptions you had, the more of that, the exponential take for the music companies got higher and higher. You would think the more you sold, the more you would have. And it was sort of like the Sisyphean rock you're pushing up a hill. Like the more that you sell, the worse it got for you because the terms became more onerous about what they would take. So every few years when you see Spotify renegotiate the deal, but again, if they did say, you know what, we're going to do $8 a month and, you know, they're going to use it like a loss leader, there's a certain amount of money that Spotify has to pay the labels regardless, right? It doesn't matter, right? Oh, you want to make it $8? Sure you can. I hope you sell, you know, 10 times as much.
Yeah, they have sunk cost. You know, it's like a restaurant. You got food cost and you got to pay for that if you're going to have the rest of your restaurant, right? I mean, same thing with them. They don't have a service without people giving them the music. And, you know, Netflix was really smart to jump into the original content market. And, I mean, that's easily, we all know the best thing with Netflix now is all their original content. So,
and the fact they can license it globally as well is the other thing that is their benefit. Whereas, you know, if you pay attention to Netflix, a lot of times you can get things in other countries you can't get here when it's third-party content. But with their own content, it's available globally on the same day, which is sort of unprecedented.
And I watched 4 hours of Longmire last weekend of the new season. I mean, that's real nice in 4K streaming on Netflix. You know, and that was a good TV show that was out there that was probably going to die. And, I mean, that's another example of they were just able to buy that kind of the property of Longmire and then start making their own seasons of it. You know, you can't do that with music. And you can't buy, you know, Rihanna and then say, all right, you know, you're just going to do stuff for us or whatever.
You could be a music label. If you became a label and did it that way, you could do that. That's what I think they'll have to do.
But then then the other labels will stop giving you their content and you start not having, you know, the trick with Spotify or Apple Music is you can go listen to just about anything you want besides Garth Brooks.
Well, unless you have Amazon. I think all his stuff's on there, but
that's why I was joking. You know, it's like Garth is just on Amazon because Garth is an idiot. I love Garth, but Garth is an idiot.
Well, they had that Taylor Swift thing a few months ago, too, or last year when Apple Music launched where they, you know, her stuff was exclusive to Apple Music because she paid the artist for the free trial, that type of thing. Not to go too far down the rat hole, too, but if you do upgrade to the 4K Netflix, I forgot that Breaking Bad was in 4K on Netflix.
And it looks pretty glorious, too.
Ah, I didn't know that. It's getting about time to rewatch that. It's probably been at least 2, maybe 3 years since I've watched a little bit of it after seeing it all. I think I was dating somebody and they were still watching it, so I started watching some more, but it's been a while.
Do you watch Better Call Saul?
Oh, I love it.
So do you think HBO will ever go back through and remaster any of their stuff?
HBO went back and redid The Wire in 1080p and widescreen, and that really added a lot to it. I don't know if they have the ability to go back that far and make it 4K or not, but what they did with The Wire was pretty awesome.
I would say if they do it for anything, The Sopranos would probably get it.
That's where I was going, you know, because I've rewatched The Sopranos probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, and I've considered going back and rewatching Breaking Bad and it going to 4K. Is you know, a definite catalyst for that. So I was wondering if, you know, HBO would do other shows like that.
Is that all the seasons?
They went back and remastered all the seasons in 4K. You can watch it all the way through.
Okay,
in 4K.
Cool. I bought all the Harry Potter movies last weekend when they put them on sale in 4K. I think you did the same, Brian.
Yep, sure did.
I got them too.
I have the Blu-rays sitting here on my shelf that I don't even know if I've ever even opened the box. Like last Christmas, I bought all the Blu-rays. Now I just bought them all and stream it again. I need to re-gift this Blu-ray box somewhere for Christmas this year.
I bought the UK version. So my first Blu-ray is Philosopher's Stone instead of Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I actually got the little pop-up because at some point I had bought one of the Harry Potters, or I think I got like a free one, like you buy the Blu-ray and you get to redeem. And so I had one of the movies already, and it was like, hey, you're buying this bundle that already includes this movie that you already have. Are you sure you want to buy it? And I was like, yeah. You know, there's no, you don't get any kind of credit for one you already own when you were buying the bundle, but it really didn't matter.
Well, I think that should do it for this week, fellas. Any last words before we go?
While we're on the air, I just want to say congrats to Jason and his whole state for Georgia winning the SEC championship yesterday. I know
it's been a long time coming, brother.
We're jumping tracks here from tech to sports. I think especially us two are huge football fans. And also a hottie toddy because Ole Miss won the Egg Bowl. So there we go. That was our state championship for this year. So that's about the best we can hope for going forward.
But yeah, let's not talk about the NCAA sanctions and violations.
Yeah, so congrats to Georgia and good luck in the playoff.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at INFIN loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at BRIANB. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at BIGJIM. Jason is at JSNYNG. That's at JSNYNG. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at MEESTERIDLE. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.